oh, we're live. And they're like, oh shit, we are live.
And then you've already had some off camera conversation that leads into where you're going with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is why like I stopped you and I was like, you said something about the computers. Like you've always knew the kids building them.
Yeah. So like, cause we were in data or well, I was in radio, which is attached to data. And so like these dudes were super nerds and could build like crazy computer. No, I won't say they're super nerds. Obviously people can,
Probably pretty fucking nerdy.
Well, yeah, that, and they would spend like, okay, I'd order this piece and then this piece and this graphic card. And then I'm double ran it. And if I figure out if I put the fan forward and backwards, I can get two fans to cool it faster. And then they got liquid cool one. And I'm like looking at it. I'm like, dude, I don't know. I don't care. I don't even do the computer thing. But it's all for like music or, in their case, games.
Yeah, they were just gaming. That was overseas too, right?
No, that was just here in the Carolinas. So it was easy for them to get stuff. But they were able to build everything. And then, too, on top of it, they were playing some game that everyone was like, it was like some big thing. You could win money. But you're not really playing the game, you know what I'm talking about? It's one of those games where, like...
It wasn't Stake, was it?
Nah.
When was this?
This would have been 2014, maybe? 2000.
I couldn't even tell you, honestly. Like, I have no idea what that would be.
Well, it was just, like, I remember there was, like, certain things they would do, and then they would play the game and then watch people play, like just all your kids.
Oh, Twitch. They'd be watching Twitch.
Yeah, Twitch, but yeah. Watching dudes stream on how to like do better. But you're not really playing with people. You're just, it's like a game of strategy, but you need like four players and they play to like overtake things. And I'm like, it's a bunch of
clips. Was it called Civilization? Where you get like start out like in the Bronze Age and you can get better and better weapons?
Maybe something like, no, because it was kind of like weird. Man, if I hear the name, I know it, but I don't know it just from like, don't know the game. You know what I mean?
So, so 2014, okay, this is in the Carolinas. You're in North Carolina.
This was on TV too, like, or not on TV, but people were like,
League of Legends.
Yeah, I think maybe
it had to have been.
Yeah, something like that, probably.
Dude, that game, holy shit. Dude, I used to play that game and I'd get off and Taylor would, just on my, based on my mood, Taylor would be like, don't fucking take it out on me. Because I just like waited.
Just getting murked.
Oh, dude, I waited 45 minutes to find out I was a loser.
Yeah. Well, and I feel like too with those games, it was like, because it's not like a first person shooter game. So like if you're doing bad, like you're doing bad. You know, like it's like there's a clear winner and loser, it felt like with those games.
Well, the thing is with those games is like it doesn't matter how good you are sometimes. Like you could be insane, right? Yeah. But like if you're one of your lanes is throwing or like there's a jungle that is absolutely fucking beating the shit out of everybody, It doesn't matter what you do. Like you are literally fucked. And now you are locked in this game for 45 minutes because you have like a tribunal. There's like a literal sea of nerds that are like on a court where they like review game footage and like find out if you're toxic or not. And then they decide and then they ban you.
Yeah.
And the reason why I know this is because I got banned 3 times.
Of course. Right.
And they didn't say they were lifetime bans. They said that I was banned until like July of like 2407. And I'm just like, all right, assholes. Like you can just say I'm forever banned. Like also like, that's what I would do. Yeah. So I had those banned all the time and I would just be talking so much fucking trash when I get mad in it. It was so hard not to Fuck dude. You put Gandhi in that game. He'll start telling kids that like, he'll burn their house down with their parents inside. You know what I mean? Like it was that infuriating.
Oh dude, people freak out on this. It was the best too. Cause like when I first started, I didn't really play video games that much, but when I always played, it was like,
did you ever play that game?
No, I didn't get into that. Like the computer side I could never.
I could tell you're a normal person.
Yeah, right? I got better things. Well, really, I'll be honest with you. The main reason I never did it was, one, I was in the barracks and I wasn't going to buy internet. And then two.
Because you're like, busy buying what? Like booze?
Booze, tobacco, whatever, you know? Or just like in general, like I'd go work out anyway, you know? And then when I get home, I want to watch like TV and drink some beer and eat some food. Like I didn't want to sit
there. But you'd have buddies that are like just getting a fucking tan from their screen.
Oh, yeah, you go over their room on the weekend and like they haven't moved out of that chair and they're just like.
Would you ever just like stand behind them and like talk shit to them?
I just watch. I'd be like, dude, you suck.
You know, all my friends would do that.
Yeah. Well, and then too, we had one of my roommates, Clem, he would freak out.
I have a best friend named Clem.
Is he from Oregon?
Yeah.
The state?
No, Oregon, Illinois.
Oh, no, no. This is from
you have a friend named Clem from Oregon, and I have a friend named Clem from Oregon.
Yeah. Did he drive a Jeep?
No, he's a Puerto Rican Jew, too.
Oh, this dude's a white mountain.
He's kid. Huge?
No, no, he's not huge.
Did you say gay?
No, no, like from the mountains.
Oh, like of Caucasus?
Yeah, somewhere, dude. I have no idea. Like, this kid was like freak out to where like you thought he would murder everybody, you know, at that point. Because he was just... Some people get so intense, and it's like modern warfare or something. Like, yeah, dude, like that's just the game, you know? Like,
oh, it is.
You just play them, and you realize like your aim sucks today, and ain't nothing you can do.
Your aim just sucks in general compared to some of these people, dude. Like, they're just, it's not even. They get to a point where it's not even like aim to them. It's like literally, they get to a point playing that game where their cursor is always at the edge of a door, which is insane. Like, that's great thought. I mean, I do the same thing over the years. You know, like you learn this from people that have just. They just move their reticle very minimally. Like they're looking at that door, they're sprinting, watching that corner, and sometimes they'll pre-fire just because they know like that game
someone's
mode.
Gonna hop out.
Someone's going to come out anyways, not even know it, cut a couple rounds off the bat. Like if you got a 2-hit lead, you're doing good, you know. And that's how it is. Like they're just constantly on the door frames and just.
Amen.
They're not looking anywhere else. They know that they just cleared out whatever. Their team's behind them. No way they're going to spawn there. And you just have no fucking chance. It's like with Fortnite with the building. Like they're not even thinking about like how to actually build it. It's just keystrokes in their head. And they know that if they do it right, the opening will be there. It'll be closed when they need it to be. Like it's fucking bananas, dude.
It's so complicated.
And I'm one of those people that like, I think that I'm going to be able to hang. Like I play build mode on Fortnite and I have no business being there.
Well, I would have no business at all. Cause like I say, you were explaining to me the one day, it's like more than just shooting people or like whatever, like you have to do extra stuff. I'm like, dude, I struggled even at like Modern Warfare. I was the guy with the machine gun who would just like lay down somewhere.
That's
like,
fine. Dude, to be honest with you, that's helpful in some games. Like you would do well. I have to show you squad. Squad is like, have you seen Squad?
Uh-uh. But that's what the game we play is like a squad. You know, like
this one's literally called Squad. And like it's ultra real. Like it's like, I mean, in the sense, like it's not like you could ever actually like, you know, take a blowtorch to a tank and fix it. But like the bullet drop is real. Like the physics are real. Oh, okay. Like there's real, like you have to communicate. There's a fucking commander that sits in and that's all he does is watch the match.
Oh, that's crazy.
And like tell you what to do. And like you have like engineers that carry like certain weapons, like there's certain people that are just going to always be better at pushing you because of whatever they chose, you know, but you're going to be the guy that keeps the tank alive. And if that guy's good, you're going to fucking run a train on everybody, dude. And they're going to be screaming in the lobby afterwards. And that's what I love that shit, dude. You would like it a lot too.
It cracks me up too. Well, I guess too, mine's like the attention span. Like some of the times it'll suck me in where like 3 hours are gone instantly. Or it's like a game where I'm like, dude, like 5 minutes feels like 5 hours.
Yeah.
It's like, I just don't get what's going on. So you're just like, either I'm dying all the time or I'm like,
and it's not fun.
Yeah. It's not fun. Cause I have no idea what's going on.
Dude, I had that same problem the other night. It was so bad. I tried to play the game with my friends the next day and they're like, no, we're not playing with you. I'm like, bro,
you don't belong here.
I'm like, dude, fuck you. I practice patience. I'm in the match like 10 minutes, dude. I'm fucking screaming like, oh, that's nice, Jay.
Thanks.
I got fucking shot. Oh, that guy's just laying over there by a rock. Sick, dude. This game's so real.
Right. Like, oh, I love
such
this.
A fucking good game.
I remember what game was super hard. Was it Ghost Recon?
SOCOM.
That one was difficult because like you had to move the squad and like that was one of the first games that was so challenging to figure out.
Well, that's because everybody were idiots, dude.
Yeah.
You know, they just get online. They're like, kill. No, dude. If you play a game a certain way, I mean, killing's fun. But like, dude, completely running a match. I mean, if there's a lot of killing going on, it's not as fun. But like, dude, you can do that while also winning the match. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And one that's what's cool, I think, now too, is the games do have like a little bit of strategy, like built in automatic. Whereas like before, like 007 back on the 64, like there was no strategy. It was just like, shoot the other guy. You know, like it's like super simple, which is like, always fun.
Pick Odd Job, get in a fist fight with your friends in real life over it.
Yeah.
Do you remember that? Odd Job being so short.
Short and he could run around
quickly.
Real fast.
Yes.
Yeah. And it was like that one. And then who
it was
the
funny.
Golden gun too.
It was funny too, because like you'd have to pick characters in the same room as the person.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You'd be next to them. And then they'd see you like going through the character list and then you'd like quickly like try to hit Odd Job. And if you did, dude, it just immediately just fucking people just you can't fucking pick that guy, you fucking idiot.
Or the same thing when you play like Blitz, they know the play coming anyways. Like you'd be playing and they can see your controller and there's only three options. You know what I mean? Like there's
no options. Oh, nickel, quarter, and dime. Like this is easy. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like I never fucking knew anyways. I never played a single down of football.
Dude, those games were way more fun. Cause like now Madden, like don't get me wrong. Like it is cool where you can kind of like do more. Like you can actually make them juke when you want them to juke and hit stick when you want to hit stick. But dude, trying to be the quarterback in those games, I'm like trying to figure out how to throw the ball and time all that stuff. I'm like, yeah.
But dude, even when you do, like, even if you're not a football fan, just the mechanics, like the thought process, like,
oh yeah,
completing a pass, running, hit sticking somebody, like every single man, woman, and child can relate to that feeling. Like,
oh yeah,
it's fun. Oh, you know what I mean? Like, you don't have to know. There's people that never knew a fucking thing about football that are absolute massive fans now because of Madden. You know what I mean?
For sure. And I think too, it's almost like some guys will find the glitch in the game. Like I remember like FIFA, there was like a corner you could shoot the ball from and like the goalie would automatically come out. If you didn't select to be the goalie would come forward and it would be almost like a chip shot of the goalie because he'd be too far out. And by the time the ball got
there, you didn't know to switch quick.
Yeah.
But by then everybody knew.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But it was like when you're first playing somebody, you're like, dude, this dude scored five times.
Well, that was like a litmus test for like who you're playing. Like you just fucking like, chip it.
I'm going to keep playing him.
If I get this in, I'm going to smash this kid. And I'm going to do
slide tackle.
Yeah. It's like when you realize even in like Madden, like you, like when someone didn't really know what they're doing, like you could just pick Mike Vick and just roll out it all fucking day long, dude. And run past everybody, dude. It would piss people off so fucking bad.
Yeah. It's definitely different. And then too, I took off for a really long time and never like played any games because I was just too busy doing other stuff. And then I remember, I think when I had Bronson, or maybe when I had Rogan, I got a game. And then I got a game system again and started playing. And what was really weird to me was like, I still was playing on a 360. You know, like. Playing,
oh, you were?
Like, yeah, I was still playing on a 360.
Dang,
so like,
bro,
it
we
gotta
get you
anything. And then I went to someone's house and like, I think it was like one of her sister's boyfriends or whatever. And like
literally anybody.
Yeah, yeah, basically.
The last man on earth with the 360, dude.
And I got the circle of death eventually. So it ended up burning out on me.
As they all do.
Right, no shit. The craziest thing though, I went to like Goodwill and I had to find the power cable to it. So it wouldn't have worked unless I had the power cable because I found it up in an attic.
Dude, you could have taken that same cable to fucking GameStop, given it to them for like literally $3.
Yeah.
And then they would have sold it to you for $45 right after.
Isn't that nuts?
That one cord, getting that at Goodwill is like a fucking steal.
Well, I was even shocked that there was like the cord would only, like that system's not there, but that cord is there. I needed the cord.
That's Goodwill. So like, yeah, that's the core. The
yeah. And it was like, what, $2? You know what I mean? And I'm like,
that's the core of Goodwill right there. Like the one thing that you never thought you'd see again. Dude.
Yeah.
If only they could find like old porn in your head. You know what I mean?
Right.
How much time school. You spend fucking looking for that?
Or try to remember the video.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, you're trying to fucking finding that cord at a Goodwill versus like getting ripped off at a fucking GameStop is like gold.
Well, and I remember too, like when you first played them, like, or I wouldn't say first played them, but as they got better, it was always different, the operating systems, and then like the games would be so advanced, and then you get to the point of like, I'm just happy with the 10 games, but then you don't realize, I think you were telling me about them, like, there's so many different kind of games that people will play on those things. It's insane. Like you can play from like Mortal Kombat kind of games to shooter games to like, what was that one you were talking about with people play it like Skyrim or something.
Oh my God. Skyrim was the shit, dude.
Dude. And I never understood. Like you gotta do like potions and people.
Dude, that's the fun of it, dude. Like you play the game and you realize like, holy shit, there's way more to do than just hit somebody with a fucking bow and arrow for the 17th playthrough. You know what I mean?
Well, but I did like racing games. Those were, like I say.
Do you remember?
Like one of my favorite style of games were like, was it Need for Speed? Really a lot of the Need for Speed games. I guess those are the racing
Burnout
ones.
Was sick.
Yeah, Burnout was sick. Yeah,
remember you could just awesome. Like crash the car?
Yeah.
Like everybody's fucking like mid-30s fantasy of just like closing their eyes. just doing as much damage. Well, that sounds like psychopathic because it is, but dude, when you're a kid and like you get to just take a fucking Ferrari down a road and just do an absolute like 14 car pile up, you know what I mean?
And then you got like points, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
and your body would like, fly out and just bounce all over the place.
You're like trying to get it to keep going. You know, you're like, come on. Cause it's like slow motion.
Like, oh, you hit the cactus, you know?
Yeah. Fuck it. Those games are always fun.
And then it'd give you like points. And then I always thought like, dude, how the fuck, you know, what's funny is like, I guess I looked at it like what looked the funniest, like crashing, but really you wanted property damage. So my brother, John, he would always beat me in it. And I'm like, how the fuck is this guy beating me? My shit's way cooler looking.
Yeah.
But like, no, like he smashed into like, you know, a fucking car and flew off a cliff and like landed in like a nursery home or something. And
did something crazy.
Yeah. And I'm like, what the fuck, dude? Like my guy literally fucking became a 200-pound meat missile out the windshield and hit a cactus.
Yeah.
And he stuck to the cactus. Like, yeah, that's so, and you just die laughing, dude. Oh, there's another game too that like blew, like the racing game. Do you remember NASCAR Thunder?
No.
Dude, I used to play it every fucking day with this Asian kid named Yang.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, and it was, he would make me cry laughing the shit he would say, dude. Just, it was he was the fucking funniest kid when we were little, dude.
Yeah.
And we used to just sit around and fucking play that game. It was a demo. Like, it wasn't even a full game. Yeah. It was like those discs you got.
Yeah, yeah.
From like McDonald's or something, or from any other game. They just handed them out kind of. We would play that. And like, it was the same map and only like the same two cars because it wasn't the full release. And I had never had so much fun in a fucking game, dude.
Did you ever get one of those Game Sharks CD discs or whatever?
No. So in my household, we all had different dads.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So you know where this is going?
Yeah.
My brothers had Game Boys and shit. I didn't have a dad, so I didn't get a Game Boy.
No, a Game Shark.
No, but you had to have a Game Boy first. So then adding on to that, my kid, like they would get that shit for like Christmas.
Oh, got it. Got it. Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't think they ever got the Game Shark itself from their dads. Well, one of them, you know, he basically didn't have a dad either, like to a certain point. But right. My brother Joe, dude, he stayed steady with his dad. Like his dad had like him having all the cool shit, dude.
Got two dads.
Oh, dude. Joe was fucking spoiled Joey, dude. It was crazy. Long story short, we did have a Game Shark at one point. It was like when, like, I'm talking like, I don't know, probably two or three more Game Boys went by and I somehow got my hands on one of those, the older ones that we never got.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. Or my brothers had gotten. Well, so I had one then.
What do you think a Game Shark is?
When you plug it in and like it's got codes and shit and it cheats and shit like that. Yeah.
Yeah. But I was getting to that. Grand Theft Auto.
What's that?
We had it for Grand Theft Auto. I didn't have it. Devin's dad had it. So like we went to go stay the night at his dad's house and it was for Grand Theft Auto, one of the Grand Theft Autos. I think it was.
Sorry, I didn't mean to play footsie with you there.
I liked it. I forget what one, maybe Vice City.
Vice City was so tough, dude. When you could fucking ride the motorcycles.
Yeah.
Pop wheelies and shit, dude.
But the Game Shark allowed you to have like you have flying cars.
Yeah,
like,
but dude, you had left, down, up, right, whatever the fuck. You could just look it up on the thing. But you're talking like,
you put this disc in?
In the PlayStation, right?
Yeah, and then it would download all the cheat codes.
To the storage disc. Yeah, no, it was like the little flash drive.
It was on a flash
drive because you could take those modded games.
Yeah, and then the cool thing was like, you know, you could have the car be on fire. But going back to like Burnout, you know what I mean? Because then it was fun because like you would just crash and then you would hit other cars and watch them launch or like have infant punch and you just like hit one person. They just like, no gravity.
Did you ever have that rumor when we were kids? Somebody told me that there was like one of the bums you could rob in Grand Theft Auto 3. Like, you know, you could just kill homeless guys.
Yeah, yeah.
And they would somehow sometimes have like a couple dollars on them. Well, some kid in my neighborhood like convinced us that there was like a hidden Bill Gates character and you kill Bill Gates and like there's like a million cash falls out of his pocket. And like that was like the most insane, like it never happened, obviously. It was 100% had to have been made up. But you never know with Rockstar because they put weird shit in all the time. Like,
well, and even too, that's like super smart to have like a game where they're like, hey, you have to figure out the up, down, left, right. You know, A, B, C, whatever the thing would
like
do
who
it.
Gets that? Who figures that out?
Yeah, so it's like a glitch. And it's like, it's something to do with the coding, obviously, but.
And your character would just be like, yeah, like spinning yeah, in a circle and shit.
You'd always see somebody like randomly doing it. And then they're like, here, you got to remember it. And then like, I was slow on the computer or on the controller. So if you did it too slow, it wouldn't work. So you got to be like, and then you mess it up and you get all the way through.
Dude, how much neck problems do you think Walmart gave every kid in America? In the game section where you're like, you're literally looking straight up.
Like, the whole time. Fuck? Yeah. Or like, just in general too, like just whipping. I remember just getting so mad. You just smash controllers and whip things all the time. Like,
oh, when you're, oh, at home?
No, like when I would play too. So like
At Walmart?
Not at Walmart.
But bro, I thought you were throwing Walmart controllers, Walmart. Bro. Like you're a badass.
But
you
remember like, yeah, because you're all jacked up trying to like look at the next game that was out. But I remember because I'd have to go there to only.
And there was always some kid your age that was like fucking massive, like holding on to the, like you could never confront him. Like you could never be like, hey, fatso, give me the fucking.
Remember McDonald's used to have like 60
golf,
in them?
Golf. Was remember it golf? Dude, me and my brother Joey used to walk there from the west. Well, we were on Cooper, so that was what? The east end? Is that the east? I'm terrible with directions. I don't know. Anyways, we would walk there and we'd buy ice cream cones and then we would just sit at that thing literally all fucking day. All day, dude. They would not kick us out.
Yeah. Oh, that was with the ball, right? Where you roll the ball.
Yeah, but then they had the controllers. You remember?
Yeah, I remember the controller ones because there was different games.
Yeah, but that was still Mario Golf. Like it was still Mario Golf and all that shit. But there is that rolling one too. Mm-hmm. But this is when they had like the N64 controllers like built into that like little gaming desk.
Those are sweet.
I would have loved to know where that went. Like I would have, to this day, I would probably grab one because all those N64 games, if you have like a screen on each side, like it did and a controller and an N64, dude, that'd be so fucking fun. Just put that at a bar. Like that's what you got to do. You got to put shit like that at a bar.
Well, they tried doing stuff like that at our new barracks. Cause I remember we'd go over to the new barracks because we were still in the old ones. And like the new barracks had like video games and TV in the rec room.
Beds that came out of the floor. Probably.
No, not that.
You didn't have those spaceship barracks.
Beds that came out of the floor. No, dude.
That's what I always heard that they were. We didn't have them either when I was in Fort Leonard Wood. They called spaceship barracks. They were like, it was like Echo 795 or and whatever.
That's smart though, I guess, to have them go.
That's what they said. They called them the spaceship barracks. I never got to see because I was in those old ass like World War II ones. Yeah.
With the doors on the outside.
Yeah, actually. Yeah. And then they had like fucking built-in payphones.
Oh yeah, no, I don't. Yeah, down
in the middle. In the middle.
Well, ours were at the bottom, but no phone was in them. It was just a shell.
When did you join?
I was in 2011.
I was in. I opened in 2009 and went in 2010.
Okay. No, so I was in 2011, but our barracks were around since whatever because they got condemned for mold, and then they opened them back up and then condemned them
again. Either way, though, dude, we were in the shitty fucking pile of shit once too, dude. Awful.
Oh yeah.
Like still brown lawyers. Beds, like all metal rod, like those bunk beds have been there for fucking 60 years, probably. I don't know.
Well, then we had other guys come in from like another country coming to go stay in our barracks, and they were like, nah, not
happy. Really?
Yeah.
Dude, get in on this fucking come out of the mud, pussy.
Right? Like, come get some realness here, buddy. Get some real mold in your body.
Yeah, go get some DFAC and get smoked.
But the nice thing, too, was like... the outside ones, because you could obviously just hang out and sit outside and drink or whatever and smoke cigarettes or, I don't know. But, like, after everyone was done at the end of the night, it was so much nicer because, like, got to hang out. The new ones were all carpet. Like, you're going into a hotel. That's what they all looked like. But going back to that was, like, we figured out real quick we can't have nice things because they ruined everything.
I was going to ask you how long it took for them to fucking...
Oh, dude, not even, like... I would probably say like 2 months.
That was it.
Yeah. And what stuff was broken, gone.
You know? Jesus Christ.
And it's like, dude, you know, they're trying to be nice to you guys and like you can't take care of nothing.
That's why I always like loved it when, you know, not that I have like any accolades in the military. I don't at all. But even still, whatever, I'll still fucking say it. Like I always see people like when they get out or whatever, or someone's at a job and they're going to hire somebody from the military. They think they're going to be like the greatest worker. And in my mind, I'm like, do you understand the level of absolute fucking shitbaggery that some of these dudes from being in the military can achieve? Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, they can skate by on everything.
Oh, my God, dude.
Which is and it's even funny, too, is like, I mean, unless, like, Well, what really, I think it just has a lot to do with just the environment anyway of those people. But I feel like, especially when I was coming in, like, dude, they just let anybody and anybody, everybody get in. You know what I mean?
Would you say you got on your first ASVAB? 14?
Oh, dude, 14 on my practice one. I'm like, there ain't no, and like, dude, basically the army
you
was
did,
like,
nah, there's no, there's no official one, right, that you posted at 14?
Not yet, but I mean, like, you know, like, or did like, you go on? Like, it wasn't, because it was still a trial one.
So did you take it more than once? Or I'm talking about an official one, like one from MEPS.
Oh, one from MEPS? No, because when I got the one from MEPS, I scored like a 70. And then
did
I
you?
Got, and then my all my GT scores were really good. Like, all my stuff was really good. I don't know if it was just, I just messed up on that test.
You had to, because I tried my ass off and I got a 54. Dude, it's still not that bad. I was like, dude, that's sick, 54. Dude,
they would wave you in. Like, I knew guys who were waved in because they got below 30.
I know dudes that get waved in and then given airborne school. Seriously.
Like, you're dumb enough to jump off the plane.
They waved him in, gave him airborne school. He was a cool dude. I'm not going to say any names, but he did go on suicide watch for a couple nights. He ended up being a cool guy. He ended up like getting through and was airborne and deployed and everything.
Yeah. Well, and I think a lot of it too is like, even with, I want to say the selection problem is a problem, but again, I think more of it's like with the kids not, or I guess the drill instructors. I don't really know whose fault it is, but I'm sure it's just a numbers game, right, at the end of the day. But yeah, back to your point of like, dude, there was most guys who didn't know what they were doing with their life anyway. One, two, I feel like they expect everyone to be the guy who gets out, and it's like the officer who got out. Like, that dude was already made it through college. Not in a bad way, but like, he's pretty good anyways. But on the enlisted side.
You talking about the dudes that fall out?
Like, they get out or whatever, and they get out. And like, the employer sees like, oh, you were in the military for so many years. But usually it's like the officers who do well when they get out because they're forced to do all that kind of stuff of like, it's a real job for them.
Yeah, no, it's really just a commitment. It's like being married to the Army or the Marines or whatever. Like, when you go like a commissioned officer, like, you're really committed.
What? Because you can get fired.
Well, yeah.
And like, on the enlisted side, you can't get fired.
Also, at the same time, I've never seen them get fired.
No, yeah, neither have I. I've seen some terrible ones. You know, when you're like, God,
I had a second lieutenant like trip up to an ammo point and be like, somebody got, she said something about somebody got hurt, whatever. She needs some, she said she needed some CLS for her weapon. And I said, CLP? CLS, Combat Life Savings? What the fuck is it? She was so fucking embarrassed. I was genuinely confused. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Well, and two, they can have a degree in, you know, underwater basket weaving or something like that. Like, yeah. Their degree doesn't mean they're smart. It just means that in the military, they're going to have to answer emails and do all that kind of stuff that we don't want to do.
Anyways. Yeah. And then what's crazy is like, dude, again, like, you know, no shade. I'm no Bob Lee Swagger or nothing. I'm not a tier one operator. I was in the National Guard.
Yeah.
But, which, dude, there's a lot of great soldiers in every branch, sure. Even the National Guard. I don't give a fuck what anybody says, dude. I know a ton of decent soldiers in there. But at any rate, though, dude, I would go to, like, you know, you'd see, like, higher ups, like, just fucking off on their PT test, lifting their back. You'd, like, you know, the new, you know, E6 female sergeant got promoted. Again, nothing against female sergeants. Yeah, I met a ton of them, but this is just what I saw. I never seen a man cry on a fucking Mark 19 range. I'm just saying. Or been scared of their weapon system. You know what I mean? Like, it was just like, how the fuck did you, man or woman, doesn't matter. I should have left it out. But either way, like, you should not be promoted if you're going to cry. Yeah. At a fucking Mark 19 range. And you're going to say, oh, he's the National Guard. That's why. Dude, I guarantee you go to any branch, you'll find shit like that all the time. Yeah.
Well, it was the same thing. We had like a sergeant and he was like a black belt or whatever. And McMap, you know, or hand-to-hand combat stuff.
MacP.
Yeah, yeah. And like, I remember we were running like a O course or whatever. And it wasn't an O course. It was like a confidence course. Dude, got up to the top and freaked out. Like, couldn't get down. Had to go up there and go get him. And you're like, dude, like, how'd you make it this far? And like, you're that scared just to throw your leg over the wall or jump to the rope.
But
like,
it's not that hard. Some people could beat your ass and still be scared of heights.
It was just like they slip by because like they, you know, it's like those are the types. And like, you get,
they got points or something. Got points, and then you get, see, that's the problem.
Guys that are not, you know, low ranked.
Well, yeah, the guys that'll actually like, we had a guy who he deployed, like, so he really saw combat. So, yeah. And I wasn't there because I never deployed, but he was a fucking hilarious guy, but he was a fat guy. I remember when I first met him, he had one soft shoe on and a boot on because he had like, I don't know, gangrene or something on his foot.
Yeah.
But like, dude, he failed so many PT tests. But dude, I guess like when he was overseas, dude, when like he got shot at, that motherfucker didn't duck.
Yeah.
Nothing, dude. He just was letting shit rip. He was like in it, dude. Like he was fucking shit up. And then you got a guy that gets like a 300 PT score. And then you find out like, you know, and again, I've never been in that situation. I've never had a bullet whiz by my head, but like there's guys that I guess like shit their pants in the turret and they just,
that's it.
They can't get up, you know, and that guy can run a 300 PT score, but old fat boy, you know, funny ass guy, like good dude, like no doubt about it, but he's about it. Like he's literally just one of the guys. It's just, he doesn't shit his pants. He just fucking stays on course, follows the tracers, I guess, you know, like just does what he needs to do.
Well, it's okay. And I think sometimes it's that, that performing under pressure. And I feel like sometimes too, you kind of learn that one through like, even when you, like the guy, no, you're good. You can be, you know, some guys are great at practice, you know, and then the lights hit them and they're not that great, you know? And
I think it's just, like it's you just spar with them or something, they'll fuck you up.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Like you could take a champion type deal and you take the lights away. There's guys out there that can beat them.
Yeah.
It's that's the thing about greatness, man. You got to get beyond that.
Yeah. Or two, that's when they perform. Like some guys are terrible in the gym, but when it comes to the fight.
Really? You're like surprised, like, damn.
You're like, oh, they can. But it's not that they're terrible in the gym. That it's just like they're not as motivated.
Or they're not doing what they normally they would do in a real competition.
Yeah, because they're just not motivated.
But also you just can't hurt your partner either, I bet.
Well, yeah, some of that. But like I said, I think it's more to motivation. Like I was telling you before, like, you know, with the ADD, it's like if I don't want to do it, I'm not going to do it. You know,
but if it's other
things, I can do amazing things. And this one, it's just how they are. They're just like, you know, they do the training, but they're not like, you wouldn't expect them to be the champion. And then they're like the dude that smokes everybody. Because it's like they know the moment too. They're really good about like, and it goes back down to natural talent. There's so many dudes that you see that are like just gifted, you know, but it doesn't always bring them.
Well, they got the right attitude. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's just people out there that even though they know they're not the shit, they have a good mentality to where they are and they can get to that level where they are the shit.
Yeah.
It's like following that fear. It's like just leaning into that fucking terrible, dooming feeling of like, holy fuck, dude.
Yeah.
Like all of this is everything I've ever said and done has led to this. Like, this is it. Like you have to perform. And when you do, you like fucking just feel so good about yourself. Mm-hmm. And then when you don't, you're like, man, am I a bitch or something? Like, am I really, you know, do I not
do
have
I really
what it
have
takes?
It?
Do I have it? Yeah. I think honestly, if you just don't follow that thought, I think you'll be fine, you know?
Yeah. And then too, I've learned that even through fighting, like making sure that I'm doing it for the reasons that I want to do it, not just to show up. Right. Like not just to be there because you did the training and do this. Like, hey, I want to be the champion. I want to have that. And that will obviously make you perform better too. Right. To have a goal, not just to get in a fight, just to fight, but to have a goal to fight to win because it's you and you want to perform and show the crowd and like get people to
respond to that.
Respond and cheer and like look at you, you know? And like for me, that's a little bit hard. That's where I struggle at. Cause like
that has really to 100% like, come from your childhood, dude.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
Dude, I got a ton of look. I got a ton of look at me and me, dude. And it's weird. Cause when you realize it, you're like, fuck, is that all right?
And then like mine, I shut it down. Like I almost go the opposite, right? Like I don't want anyone to look at me. I don't want the attention. I don't like having the eyes.
But you're like, I kind of do.
Well, some of it I do, but what I learned is it's like, it's not the motivation to have the eyes on me. It's the fact that I want those people to see, I want to put a good show on for them. So I want to do my best.
And that's they paid money.
Yeah, like I want to make sure that like they get to see what it's really about. Because someone taught me the skill, so I want to show the people the skill. And then two, you do it against somebody else, so you want to see. It's also a test, right? At the end of the day, I guess you're still not playing to the crowd, but you still, you kind of are. You know what I mean? Like it's
even still like one-on-one. Like, look at me, dude. Yeah. Like, what's better than someone meeting you and being like, man, I fucking like that guy. Yeah. You know what I mean? There's always a great feeling when, you know, even when like you, so you like good words about you reach back to you. It's almost like, yeah, that's nice. And it's crazy that we're conditioned to believe that we can't.
Yeah.
It's uncomfortable almost. Fireworks.
Oh, fireworks makes sense. Another 4th of July. But no, I think it's uncomfortable too, because it's like,
it's the 5th though,
but some people love it. Yeah, it is the 5th. Huh? Yeah.
Some people love it.
Well, some people love the fact that like some people shine in the light. Like they need that, like someone telling them
to get them to go,
to get them to do something.
It's
right?
Crazy, dude.
Where like, to me, I always feel like, oh, if I mess up, I'm going to let you down. And like, then I'm not fighting my fight. I'm fighting a fight for them instead of fighting the fight for me.
Dude, so you're like, you are in this labyrinth, dude, all the time. Like, it's such a good thought. It's a great thought.
Mm-hmm.
But man, like, it's just, you are almost at every turn, you're like, but this. And I do the same thing, dude.
But again, too, that's just the way my brain tends to work, right? Which is really good and bad, because I can see like all outcomes, not all outcomes, but like, it's like I can, what makes me good at some of the stuff I do is that I can see what could happen here, what could happen here, what could happen here. And that's what it feels like sometimes. And that's what like makes my brain race. But also too, is also like, sometimes I can get it right. And it's like the best, because I've played like 1,000 options out already. And it's like, then I go with that one, you know? And it's like, it just comes to me. And it was like, and I'm going to say that all the time, but I also have had a lot of time to think, right? Because again, even with those working out or the fighting, like, you got to run 3 miles in the morning. You got to jump rope for a half hour. You're going to run 3 more miles at night. Like, dude, you have so much time.
Shit, dude. I'll be yourself. Looking at you out the window, dog. I got a glass of Woodford Reserve. I got my goddamn cell phone with my Razer fucking controller on it. And I'm just like,
but I guess it's, but I mean, just as much as you enjoy that, I do enjoy that. It's like, it doesn't seem like you enjoy it, but
you, I get really what you mean. Like, you love, it. Yeah, it's like, you know,
because you got to play all those things.
It's out. Like Tyson famously said, like, you get, you know, you got to do something that you hate, yeah, like you love it.
Yeah.
And then eventually, I mean, you kind of will love it, you know.
It's forced.
I can't tell you how many times, like, you know, you are in a hard workout, or I mean, it's been a while for me. Holy fuck. But I've been there, you know, I've been in like a hard workout or like rolling or something like that. And like, you want to fucking puke, but like at the end of it, like on that drive home when the windows are down and you can feel your fucking heartbeat in your neck. And like, you did something to somebody and you fucking got, you know what I mean? Like, there's just something about that.
Yeah.
Like, it'll damn near bring you to tears. Like, holy fuck. Like, what a invigorating like thing, you know?
Well, and I think that's like, I got a shirt and it's like one Einstein quote. It's like, you got to get pushed to your limits to know how to push past them. And that's what a lot of that stuff is, right? Like, you got to know where your limit is and then know how to pass your limit and not let your limit hold you back, because that wall is only there temporarily because you're the only one who put it there. And that's what's so cool about it is like, then you just keep, and then you figure out, oh, I can keep going. Where I thought I was going to quit was way back there, and I kept going.
Well, dude, David Goggins is like, you can say what you want about that guy. You can like him, hate him. You can find him to be a cornball. Oh, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
You could be a tier one operator and think that he's a douchebag or whatever, because you know how those guys fucking feud a little bit.
Yeah.
But dude, you can't tell me that guy isn't the best example of anything in life. Like, dude, look at whatever he's done.
Yeah.
You can absolutely, and this is what we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
It's like anybody like has nothing but themselves stopping themselves. Like, get the fuck out of your own way.
Yeah.
Like, and I heard that saying of like getting out of your own way a long time ago, but it never really made sense until you realize like everything that you want is like in the things that you're not doing. Like, every single thing that you want, if you just do the things that you're not doing, you will get that. And you just have to do it without any fucking forethought. You have to stop looking so far ahead. It's just like, I'm going to do this right now, and whatever happens after this happens, like, and I'm going to do it again, and I'm going to do it again. Like that, whether it be running, sparring, playing games that you want to get good at, it doesn't matter. Yeah. It's like, it's crazy that we just constantly, and for you to even like have like those thoughts where you're like constantly playing out every option, it is beneficial. But at the same time, man, like, I'd like to think that fighting is simple in the sense that, like, it's like eyes, hands, feet.
Yeah.
Where are you? Where am I? You know, and if you practice that enough, like, where do I feel good at and mm-hmm. where do you feel bad at in this situation? 1,000 times, dude. And then that becomes in the back of your head. So now that limit that you put on yourself gets moved automatically, because now this isn't even a fucking thought that you have. It's just something that happens.
Yep.
And then now it's like, okay, now where's my flair in this? Like, mm-hmm. where's my fighting style in this? Where's my approach?
Yeah.
You know? So inevitably it does get moved whether you like it to or not. Now you have a chance to get better or worse.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, and like explained to us from the Muay Thai, when he taught me Muay Thai, right, was like, you got 3 laws and you can't break those laws. If you break the laws, there's obviously repercussions for breaking those laws. And your first one's distance, right? So managing your distance, and distance is everything between me and you, between how close you get to a fire, between fighting, between everything, right? So you can apply it to anything. It's just how close I want to get to a person.
How close can you?
How close can I get, and what happens if that distance changes, what is the outcome?
Yeah.
Right? Like, so you're always measuring those things. And that's the first law. The second one is your rhythm, right? And your rhythm is like the rhythm of how you move, how you breathe. It's kind of like, that's your style, right? Like, your rhythm is really,
if you're out of it, you can be fucked.
Yeah. And it's really tied to your breath. That's what controls your rhythm, is your breathing, right? So you know how you're going to react and things and the way you're going to move. And then the last one's 90-10, right? And 90-10 is kind of like, it's kind of weird to explain to somebody, but it like sums up everything at one time too. It's like, I can't throw 100% because it's going to leave me open, right? If I threw 100% of this punch at you, I'm open for that moment, right? So I have to have 10% always thinking about myself, but also I also have to keep my 90. We'll always say like, keep my 90. So that means like, do what I'm going to do and not worry about my opponent. I'm sure you know that from like jiu-jitsu, right?
Cause like, if you get caught up too much thinking, like you're not
doing nothing.
You're not doing anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you just have to, like you said, like, get in your rhythm and mm-hmm. do your shit.
And then you understand too, that like, I can be beaten or beat somebody with those. So if I understand distance and he can beat me with the distance game, because it's not just about managing distance and not getting hit. The goal is to obviously hit them too. Right. So you have to understand both sides of the sword. So it's like the yin and the yang. You have to understand the soft and the hard side of it. So you have to use and apply all those ones. And being able to apply all them, you means that you have a good rhythm. So you have to have that good rhythm to allow you to use all these options. And like I say, I think, like, I don't necessarily say I would overthink things. I used to. Now I just kind of let them happen. Because it's like, you do learn that from fighting.
Well, you still, I mean, and this is no shade whatsoever. I mean, you could kick my ass. There's no doubt about that. Yeah. What I'm saying is, you're like, no. Yeah. I absolutely agree, dude. What I'm saying is, like, at some point, instead of you, looking at it from a point of like, whether or not you can manage distance against them. Right. Do you ever use your rhythm? Like, they think that they've picked up the rhythm and then you've completely switched it or something like that. 100%. Like, do you ever have that realization when you realize, I think they figured my rhythm out?
You do. Reason being is because they beat you to whatever. They know what you're going to do, right? All of a sudden they start blocking the shot that's coming. Or as soon as you go to strike, they beat you to the strike.
What about this? The beating you to the strike. This is what I was thinking about. I've been meaning to ask this. Do you ever have like a moment where like you're in your rhythm and then you just notice like their fucking shit's wide open, their face is wide open, whatever, their hand is to a point. Do you ever just have like a thought like now?
Yeah, that's the moment. That's what we call the moment.
Really?
And the moment is where you...
That's how I imagine it happening.
Yeah. And the moment is that really that's almost what's going on, is you're subconsciously striking and blocking when you get proficient, right? You're not no longer thinking about the shot. You're just in a flow. And it's all controlled by your breathing. So you get in this really good breathing pattern and your body starts to flow and you start doing things automatically. Like, you do enough training, like, you punch 1,000 times and you understand distance. That's why distance is important, because I know at this range, a punch is going to land. I know at this range, my left kick can hit kick you. I know at this range, my knee's going to land. I know my elbow's going to land. I know that if I hit here, I have to step back this far to get out of your shot. But once you get past that, then it's the rhythm. So now you work on that. And then the moment you choose to go. So like all of a sudden you see that opening, boom, and that's the shot.
Do you ever just like get this like, because, you know, like you have every guy, I think, has like their little like, you know, fantasies where like, yeah, I'm gonna walk them down. You ever just like walk somebody's like ass down? Like you just.
Yeah.
That being the rhythm, you know what I mean? Like I'm talking like you're just walking them down. Like yeah. You're like, fuck. They're like, I have to keep backing up or I have to circle or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, have you ever been in that mode? And it's like, or have you ever been in a mode, like not in your usual rhythm where you are just like, I don't know. It's all making sense. Like it's all adding up. Like you just, it's almost as if like you're fighting on your terms. Like you're constantly, you're like literally walking them down. That's the best way I could even fucking say it.
You're walking them down, but at the same time, it's like sometimes you're just ahead of them. And that's catching their rhythm, right? That's how I know I'm ahead of them, is I'm literally ahead of them and it's no effort.
Do you ever see like when the self-doubt kicks in on them?
Sometimes the self-doubt, or two, the worst is actually on you. All of a sudden you notice you got the rhythm and you don't let the rhythm just become the rhythm. And then you break it. Your own self breaks the rhythm.
Cause you get a little too comfortable. Well,
then you start thinking instead of just letting your body do what it does. And then you're like, oh, I'm going to try knocking them out.
That's
and
how I imagine that.
Then you stiffen up and then they start hitting you. Now you're like, oh God, I was on top. Now I'm not, you know? So you have to get to this point of
can like, you just like, isn't there like anything you can do to kind of like break that momentum? Like you just, I don't know, like what do they call it? A teep kick or something like that? Or push?
Yeah, you can. Yeah, teep. But I guess so to break their rhythm.
Yeah. So like, or
when I get in trouble and I start thinking.
No, I guess the question is, I feel like I had a question and I asked a different question, but to lead it back.
Yeah.
You're in your rhythm. They're in, okay. So we were talking about the self doubt. Like, are you ever like in your like rhythm or whatever, and like it's going all right or whatever, and then like it's going well enough for you that you're the person's like almost frustrated, maybe, or like they're starting to self doubt themselves, and you just see this man crumble before you, and then he just lets you hit him and shit.
He'll let you hit him or two. Like
people let you at any given moment hit them. Like they will let you. Is this to like gain distance? Like, I know that's got to be a thing. Like, all right, I'm going to let him move in for this because I have to, because of whatever the situation is, right? Well, it's just really feeling out like where it's hot in the pan, right? Like, you're just like.
Different personalities, right, would lead to that. But a lot of times it's not that they'll let you hit them. It's the fact that, like, you can hit them. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah,
it's like they are like,
it's like that now moment. Like, why are you wide? Are you ever like confused? Like, why the fuck are you letting me punch you like this, bro?
Sometimes, or like, kick I like, you like this. Well, like me personally, right, is like, I like tagging somebody and then give them like a couple extra and let them get frustrated. Cause we call that like tying someone in a knot.
Can't you just like, people got to be getting knocked out of Muay Thai at this level, right?
I mean,
is it less
fighting? Yes. Sparring? No.
No, right. We don't
spar that way.
Right. What I'm saying, like in a fight, right? Like, people, are they in their rhythm so much that they almost forget that they're leaving themselves open, in the sense that like it's like a now moment, like they're constantly giving you those like, oh my God, like you're shocked. You're like, why the fuck? You're almost confused because you didn't think it was going to go that way. That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah. Like it was so easy that it was almost like confusing to you. You're like, why are you leaving that open? Like, why are you constantly letting me kick you there?
Yeah, sometimes it's like that. And other times I think it's just their skill. Right, because again, at the end of the day, it's a skill level game, or like a skill game, or you just don't know how people are going to react. You know, like you were saying, some people freeze up in that moment
because they have skill. Is there ever a moment too where you realize that somebody has the technical skill, like understand striking, but they're just not that tough?
Yeah, there's guys who have good technique, but never go past it, or like I rely too much on my strength and not enough on my technique sometimes. Right, so that's why. Doesn't do well when it's a scored game, because they can get points by still touching you, even though they're not hitting you that hard.
Yeah.
Right.
That's kind of sucks. Yeah.
Yeah. So it drives you crazy because you're like expecting to be like, oh, I want this to go to the bitter end of a fight. But then you forget that it's only three rounds.
What happens if like a guy goes into a Muay Thai match and like technically he's not breaking any rules, but he's just brawling in there?
They do all the time. Most your first five, six fights are going to be a brawl. Like, it's just
that's kind of scary, dude. No, that's kind of scary because you can't play. You're not going to be able to play Muay Thai, really, are you? Or can you be so good at Muay Thai that even though he's brawling, like he's, you just know that there's no way he's going to keep this up?
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's what I was going to say. Usually those fights don't. It's a third round. By then, dude, they're punching each other with pillows. You know what I mean? Because you're just, your adrenaline's dumped.
You got to understand, dude, I've never been past like a minute in a fight ever. Yeah. Either I've gotten fucking just rocked or like, you know what I mean? Like yeah. I've never like had to like stand there with anybody. Like I got fucking just snuck on or, you know what I mean? Like it's never, like a bar fight. It never, and not that dude, most of the times I've ever been punched by my brother, but dude, it wasn't with other people, like it wasn't with strangers, for but sure. Dude, that shit is the fucking same thing when someone's rocking your fucking head from behind or like strangling you or something like that. And that's like, it never lasted. My brother John would just rock me in my fucking mouth, dude. And I would never do anything back usually, you know what I mean? Usually.
Yeah.
But again, going back to that, like I can't even perceive like any, like going, you know, doing any of that shit with anybody for more than a minute. I can't even fathom it.
You'll like, well, hopefully these guys will want to spar Sunday here in town. You'll have to come watch it.
I will, yeah.
Or even if you want to, it doesn't matter.
Dude, I will. Absolutely. I'm not good. Yeah. Like, well, I'm going to get fucking. Well, and see, but my thing is, too, like, I worry that I don't know, like, how much pressure. Like, I don't know. I've never not swung on someone to not really hurt them. You know what I mean? No, does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think a lot of times, too. Well, that's like a good point for like, if you're new, that's why I let you hit me.
And then I don't know if I can.
But you hit me and then I'm going to hit you back as hard as you hit me.
Do I get to move?
Yeah. You get to try to move.
Fuck, dude.
So like then you're going to figure out like, oh, how much pressure am I actually hitting somebody with? And then you kind of figure it out from there, right? But there also should be a, like for your first time, most people don't hit. Like you think you're going to rock somebody, but you're not really aggressive. You're not. Because the adrenaline isn't there, you know, or if you feel adrenaline coming up, you're only going to hit me hard.
Dude, my butthole is going to be tighter than a duck's asshole, dude.
Well, and I think a lot of it too is like when you're new, like most guys just don't throw. So we got to get people to throw. And a lot of times, like especially since I've trained more people now than.
I would just like, feel bad that you're like, all right, here we go. Like, I don't know anything. And then just. Okay. And then like, okay,
would
so
get hit?
Yeah, dude.
But I enjoy.
I get that. I get like, that. I understand.
And I doubt, not in a bad way, I don't doubt that you could start somebody, but like, I doubt you're going to be able to hit me as much as you
want. Oh, dude, no. I have no fallacy of that. That's the thing with me, dude. I have zero fallacy, dude.
Well, just in general, most people who are just coming in, like you can tell an unskilled fighter versus a skilled fighter, right? Just because someone who's done it long enough, like you can come in and watch a million Chuck Norris movies and, you know, done whatever. But like at the end of the day, like, yo, that doesn't always work. Like you got to figure
always, out what works. But every now and then.
Yeah, every now and then. Like that back spinning flying kick might knock somebody out, but most skill guys are not going to.
You know what I worry about? I'm sure this is everybody. Like I'm like worried about like standing like in a fighting position and then being like, what the fuck is this? Like, what is this?
Oh yeah. No, I get that. Just that weird, like, I guess I got lucky, right? The first time I went there, I just was thrown into fighting. Like, no pads, no nothing else.
That was my first day in jiu-jitsu. It was a roll day. Yeah, it was not any classes.
These dudes are getting ready for fights, you know?
Yeah.
So the first 6 months, like, it was just me getting licked on, you know? And then I was throwing back, and I only knew a couple shots. And then I remember one time I was sparring with and, like, I never had been dropped before in any fight. And he hit me with a body shot, dude. He kicked me in my liver. And I remember going down and just remembering, like, dude, that hurts so bad, but I got to learn how to do that because that was insane. You know, like, because the other guys, yeah, they're hurting me, but I'm not, like, they're not hurting me like that hurt me. And then I learned, like, oh, yeah, there's a skill to this.
Dude, if I go there, I'm just going to, when I go there, because I'm going to go there, I'm just going to do what I think I need to do.
Exactly. And that's all we ask for, right? Because I think, a lot of
like if I'm whatever and like someone's I'm just a quick one just like a little touch like that's what you do right
yeah you kind of figure it out also too we'll give you honestly I think if you were a Bronson's age I would start you at pads or I'd start you on bag work and drill work and all this.
But you don't even need to be like that. I just want to go there just to like, I just want to go there to learn how to like fight.
Yeah. Well, that's
what I'm not saying. Planning on, you know what I mean? I'll go there or whatever and I'll learn everything to a T, but like really I'm just there to be a body and just to learn.
Well, and that's what I was going to say is I wouldn't start you out that way because you already have too much life experience to be started out at a day one.
Oh, I don't know about that, dude.
Well, what I mean is like,
put the training wheels on me, dude.
Well, even that, but like, I feel like for you to enjoy it, you got to,
You have no idea. I'm going to enjoy it anyways, dude. I have that same thought where it's like, I will like literally just be walking around. Mm-hmm. I'm like, dude, it would be kind of cool to like get hit. Like, you know what I mean? It'd be, you know what I mean? Just like the rush of it, you know, for if sure. It's anything like my limited, you know, if I were to put every day back to back, you know what I mean? Probably like 5 months of jujitsu total. Like, I'm talking like back to back, like all my days. And it was just so fucking fun, dude. And and I mean, I lost like 99% of the time.
For sure. I think that's
still fun.
Yeah, for sure. But that's also what separates the guys who will come back, right? Because there's guys that I know that, man, they just don't show up again. They do it one time.
That's what they probably think of me there.
No. Well, no, they'll even show potential. Like there's guys that I know that are actually like, halfway decent, but just don't like to be hit. Don't understand. There's like you kind of have to have the fact that I lost and come back is good, right? Like,
oh, it's awesome.
Like, because it's like, you love it. I don't care about the record. I don't care about the scoreboard. I don't like, that doesn't bother me. What bothers me the most is that like,
you
performing.
Did. Yeah.
And what did I learn from that performance and how can I correct that
something thing.
What was it that my opponent saw that I didn't see and could not adjust to? Maybe he's just that much better, or was I just not being my best?
And that's it's a combination of both, right? Maybe too, you know.
Well, it's a combination of both, but realistically, when we both are about the same weight, we both trained about the same amount of time, because that's how they set the fights up, right? They don't usually send you off with like a profile.
They'll send you to a guy that's similar.
Yeah, exactly. With not a lot of experience. You both have the same similar experience. You're like I say, the same weight. So you've both trained and then you get in the fight and you do that. And then too, some of it is like, man, it's just not my day. And I'm a person very much like that. Like I can have good days and bad days. Like my good days are great days and my bad days are just terrible
days.
Dude, everyone's beating me up. You know what I mean? I'm like, I can't get out of the way my own punches, let alone somebody else's punches. So it's just like you have those days where like, and there's nothing you can do about it. At least I haven't figured it out. You know, I wish I knew what that was. But that's just like, I think that comes back down to kind of like that distance management or like that rhythm. Like I thought I had my rhythm, but there's a piece
missing.
I'm still missing. And
couldn't find the last corner either.
Couldn't get where I needed to be.
The puzzle,
yeah. And it's just like, man. And then other days, like I say,
no one
could touch me.
Yeah.
You know, like I'll make everyone look stupid.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, that's awesome. But then it's like, oh, but I wasn't ever. And then that's when I learned.
How do you bottle that lightning?
Yeah. And it's like, oh, I wasn't even doing anything though. That was a thing. It was like my body was just doing it.
You're just working. You're just keeping your hands up. Yeah.
Like the flow.
You see an opening, take it. Yeah. If he's great at defending that, we'll figure something else out.
Yeah. And my fun part, I know I'm having fun, is when I'm laughing.
In the match, in the fight. Yeah.
If I'm laughing,
does that happen a lot?
Not always, but like that's when we're sparring. Yeah, when I'm on top and I can see what's going on, it's funny because like I don't hit you and I start to laugh because I knew I could hit you, and it's subconscious. Like I don't even know, and people are like, "Dude, why are you?" And you're like laughing and smiling, and it's like, yeah, but it's just like
I just could have cracked you. Yeah, and I just think it's funny that I did.
Yeah, it's just more like, and you get that like. And it's like a giddy, like a rush that like comes over you.
Oh, dude, there's nothing worse than when you get hit by somebody and you cannot get to them.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, dude. It makes you feel like such a fucking little pansy, dude. It makes you feel terrible about yourself. You're like, what the fuck?
Right. And then but that's where like, then you have to apply all your laws again. And that's like how you break it. And at least that's how our coach tells us too. It's like, that's how you break it. But at the end of the day, he always would say too is like, be a good you. So even if you can't touch them, still be good. Don't let the frustration get you. Don't fight your fight.
Don't let it wear you down.
Yeah, don't let it bother you and just be a good you. Like, do what you need to do, and that will get you through life. That will get you through the fight. That will win, lose, or draw, right? It doesn't matter at the end of the day. I mean, and two, realistically, Like, I'm not trying to make money out of this and have, like, be a 50-0 boxer or a 50-0 fighter, right? Like, that's not my goal anyway with this sport. This sport is for me to, well, I guess it comes back down to some of the, like, I think it would be good for a lot of the guys who, like, were in the military. And when you get out.
I think it's just good for men.
Yeah, men in general, right? I guess.
I think true. It's good if you can get somebody together and, like, you know, physically test yourself in a way. I mean, there's going to be a loser a lot of the time in it, but I mean, that's not, again, in my experience, in my very limited experience doing jiu-jitsu, is like, you know, you get smashed by somebody or you smash somebody the next day, you're just back. And like, it's always like,
yeah,
you know, every time exactly. Before you start, it's every time you start, it's like love,
yeah.
You know, unless, you know, you're like a newer guy and a lot of the times it'll avoid you, especially if you're a heavy guy like me, like I'm 220.
Yeah.
You know, most people in there are 190 or less. And then you got a couple of your other gorillas in there. Yeah. And that's always fun too. But, you know, as long as you're like conscious of like how you're going about it, cause like it's hard again not to use muscle over technique.
Yeah.
But dude, you have to if it's like a win or lose thing, like that's not on you, you know, like yeah. If you're stronger, you are. And like, but also like if the person's just not as strong as you and you got to that point, I never took that as a win. I never was like, you know, like I was proud, you know, if I won, you know, mm-hmm. myself quietly, you know, just like, okay, whatever. But at the same time, you know, you have to know those like kind of parameters or else no one's going to want to do that with you.
No.
So yeah. Getting like, I don't know, it'd be a hard thing to do. I mean, it's not a hard thing to do. It's happening everywhere in America. Like you do have Muay Thai gyms everywhere where dudes are congregating and like they're fucking fighting each other and they're learning and they're losing and they're winning. And but at the end of the day, like when you see that person, sorry, my voice keeps cracking. Like you just have that respect for them. You know what they can do. And even if it doesn't always beat you or you don't always beat them, like you just know, like that's fucking dedication, you know?
Exactly.
You know a skill.
Yeah. You know a skill and you know they went through the same suck you went through, right? It's oh, that yeah. It's, what is that quote? It's like
embrace the suck.
No, I mean yeah that, but there's the blood we shed and like the blood we shed together is stronger than the water in the mother's womb, right? So it's saying like you build such a camaraderie by
when you suffer together.
When you suffer together, when you bleed together.
Absolutely, dude. At any those things. And it's apparent at every job you're at. Like, how many coworkers have you had a shitty job with where you see them to this day and you're like, that's my fucking guy right there.
Right. Like, we made it through.
We did, dude. We did it. We clocked into the same hell, you know, day in and day out, you know.
Yeah.
Same thing that I imagine is going to, you know, a Muay Thai gym or a jiu-jitsu club or whatever.
And two, you always hope that like lasts, right? But sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes like those relationships fade or people have their own track and they get off track and they don't come back.
Or they're not off track. They're just not on that track anymore.
Yeah, true, I guess, right? But they still have a understanding of what that is, you know? And like to me, that's where I think Muay Thai taught me more. And maybe some of it, like, you know, you always think I think too deep, but.
You do think very deeply. I mean, I'm in the same prison, dude.
But again, too, like I look at it, like you were saying, it gives you something to test, gives you a test all the time.
Dude, right? It's such a great thing when like you're in a situation where you're shit, like, because I can't tell you how many times I went, you know, against somebody that normally I would look at and be like, oh, that person would kick my ass, dude. And then, you know, you're in it and you're suffering and you think you're about to lose and then just something presents itself and then mm-hmm. You pull it off and then you're like, oh fuck. Like there's one that sticks out in my mind. Like a guy like heard me breathing heavily and he was like, he was pretty jacked. Like he was a pretty good sized guy. And I remember looking at him like, I don't know if I want to roll that guy. Dude, I don't want my pride hurt that early in class, you know, even though I'm always great. Like I never get mad. I don't, you know, you don't see a lot of those guys anyways. And if you do, they probably get dealt with pretty quickly, I'm sure, because it's hard to like freak out on a group of people that can beat you up anyways. You know, that's how I always explain it to people. Like, I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to get mad. Like some people are like, I think I get mad. Like, okay, go ahead. See what happens. You get mad. You're going to get hurt, you know? But, and I remember he heard me breathing like really heavy. He's like, oh man, I got your ass. And I remember I took such offense to that. And he had me on top, dude. I reversed it, got my fucking mount, dude, and just hit him with an Americana. And I was like, fuck yeah. Like, in my head, I'm like, yeah, I fucking did it, dude. Yeah. And you can never replicate that. No. You have to face somebody. Like, you have to face somebody that's a challenge. You have to face another man, like, or woman to woman. You know what I mean? Because, you know, it just is what it is. It's like, you know, two equals almost, like, even though you're not really equal. Like, I go back to that same guy right now, he'll fucking tear me up.
Well, and I think sometimes too, it's like the weird thing in the gym is like, okay, I can beat you, but you can beat him.
And everybody has a pecking order. Everybody has that pecking order too. You know, when you look around,
right? Like, then it's like, oh, but you can beat him, but he can beat me. And how can he lose to you every time and I lose to you every time, but I beat him every time.
See, me, it was like, he can beat me. I might get lucky with that guy.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I guess it gets, I mean, I wouldn't say skill level, but it's just like, sometimes people just have, or like in fights, like, you even see like with MMA, like how many times had like Max Holloway and Volkanovski gone against each other?
Three times, I think.
Yeah. And it's like, something like that. He loses. And it's like, but Max will sit there and knock out Gaethje. You know what I mean?
I mean,
where
yeah.
It's like, how you can't figure this guy out, or this guy figured
it's not
you
that
out.
They can't figure out, dude. It's just, he got put out. He played the game, you know? He played that game where you got Gaethje, Max Holloway.
Well, yeah,
Gaethje's just like Frankenstein, dude. He can just take unprecedented damage. Not that Max couldn't, but Max is like just, he's just, he's a better striker. But I mean, dude, yeah. Gaethje's heavy-handed. So one comes through, you know.
Yeah.
That's a tough.
Well, it was a tough fight. But what I meant is, in like, he fought one guy three times and can't do what he normally does.
How many times did he fight that fucking guy anyways? Let's look here. I got a goddamn computer.
And don't get me wrong, but then Volkanovski was on top. And then he loses to Islam. And then it becomes like a, you just start losing for some reason, you know. And sometimes you lose that step, or like you lose it. Or like Connor, right? Connor was all great. And then all of a sudden, you start getting beat, you know, all these guys. And then you're not the boogeyman no more. And I think that takes away a lot of things, right? Is when people find out you're not the boogeyman anymore.
Yeah, but that's the thing too. Like, if people, I mean, again, man, people can do anything. It's the guys that figure out like, hey, I got caught that time.
Yeah.
It ain't, I mean, it could happen again, but I'm not going to let it happen again.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And those are the guys that just fucking. So Holloway beat Gaethje. This is last one. Fuck. Yeah.
Bad.
So he beat, was it bad?
The knockout. You didn't see.
I didn't
he was
see
already
it.
Winning. He was already winning the fight.
I didn't see it, but I don't doubt it, dude. Max is just a fucking insane.
You know, pointed to the middle, told him square up. You know, Gaethje's not scared to do that. And
so he lost to Volkanovski.
Mm-hmm.
He lost to Volkanovski.
Yeah.
He lost to Volkanovski. Yeah. Yeah. He's never beat Volk.
Yeah.
Volk's just a fucking tank, though, dude. He beat McGregor. I'm pretty. No, he lost to McGregor. He never beat McGregor, I don't think. No, he didn't.
No.
That's crazy, dude. Yeah. Damn, he's fought Volk fucking five times and lost every
That's what I'm saying. And like, Volk's just got his number.
Yeah.
You know, and there's just somebody that
Well, dude, when you get comfortable kicking someone's ass, too, I mean, there's just like, there's this level of like sunning somebody, I feel like, that you can reach where it's like, bro, you ain't gotten, you never will.
Or like Izzy and Pereira. You know,
well, again, dude, I mean, Izzy almost lost that second time, but just got him, dude, in the last minute there, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, it can happen. And run it back. Like, we'll see. I mean, best two out of three. That will really tell you. Yeah. I mean, Izzy, I don't know. I hope I can't say anything because I don't know a fucking thing, but and nobody will ever hear this. But at any rate, like, Izzy, he can come back and do whatever he wants. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
for
he
sure.
He can be right back on top. I just hope that, I mean, like any man, you know, losing at that level, you know, especially to somebody that everybody on the internet thought you were going to beat the fuck up.
Yeah.
But dude, when you watch those videos of God damn it, what's his name? I can't.
Sean.
Sean. Yeah, Strickland. Like, when you watch him spar, dude, that guy just. He really is good. Like, it's crazy how
he's
great
at a high level.
His defense is. Like, he's like crazy. Do you see him sparring that K1 champion?
Yeah.
And
all
like,
those guys.
Fuck, dude.
The K1 champion, the golden or the big heavyweight boxer.
And the way
boxer.
He hits you, dude. I just, oh man, just to fucking, just to load up. Just let everything go, dude.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That has to feel like winning a lottery when you crack somebody.
A lot of times, like I said, you don't really feel it. Like, you do feel it, but you don't feel
no,
it.
No, but when you see, like, the head snap or whatever, yeah, dude, are you... Yeah. Dude, there's got to be something intoxicating about that.
Well, what's weird is actually, a lot of people have it too, right? Is like, you... It's intoxicating to a level of, like, you like it, and then you have two options to deal with it, right? Like, does that drive you? Or are you going to say that, okay, I did it, and now I move on, right? Or some guys, actually, I guess a third one is, like, some guys will knock somebody out, and then you can see, like, they're, like, surprised or, like, scared kind of themselves. And, like, that's never fun. They're not fun, but, like, you don't want to be that guy.
That's shocked?
That's, I wouldn't say shocked, but, like, sometimes they're not the best fighter then after that. If they knock somebody out really bad, and then they're like, oh, what did I do? You know, like, not realizing, like, they... chose a sport that, like, you can really hurt. Like, people die during these sports, right? So it's like you can kill
somebody.
It's not, somebody
it's not that common, though, is it? Like, no, this is like back of the head shots that you have to avoid kind of thing.
Back of the head, bad cuts, or like just in general that fighters fought too many fights. You know, our bodies have a limit to what can be taken. But then I also, too, like, man, I know one of the guys I was actually in the Marine Corps with, I want to say, it's been a while since I heard the story from him. But I want to say he was doing like a kickboxing match or a Muay Thai match or something like that. And somebody did like a spinning heel kick and put him like in a coma for like a week.
No shit.
At amateur level. So like your life can change that fast, you know? So it's like, man.
But how many concussions did that guy have before that though, too? You got to think about that.
Well, he was reckless anyways, you know? So it's like.
Here's the thing too, dude. Like I've just now thought of this, like. I've had like some severest head trauma. Like I've like taken a fucking baseball bat to the head, like quite literally when I was six. Like I remember getting knocked out. I remember like it was yesterday.
Yeah.
I have like taken a brick to the head. I have had a U-Haul door go into like part of my, like it chipped like the side of my head.
Yeah.
Cause I stood up and cause we were playing Nerf guns in a junkyard and I fucking stood up and I fucking stuck it in my head. I remember I couldn't like. It was like in my fucking, it was like under my skin between my scalp. Like it went, it slipped in. I've had like a ton of head trauma in my lifetime and I've had staples, stitches, everything. I've been knocked out. You know what I mean? Like, I wonder like how that would go. You know what I mean? Like, will I be susceptible to that? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I guess you don't really know until you unfortunately know.
Yeah. Until you get put out again. Yeah.
Also too, that's kind of like, but again, too, when we, like, so if we're sparring, like, I'm never sparring at you, like, my intent is to hurt you.
Right.
So I'm almost.
I was just talking about normally, like, if someone were to hit me.
Oh,
like,
in a real fight? Or, like,
right, for real. Fight? Yeah, like, in any, I mean, you're obviously going to get knocked out, but, like, the prevalence of it, you don't really think about the fact that, like, you could be a person that doesn't have to get hit that hard. Like, and you don't even know it yet, just because of, like, you took, you know, you got in a car accident, took some head damage or. You know, I don't know. You were dropped when you were a kid or I don't know. But
well, I guess I also look at it this way, right? Like, you probably shouldn't be getting in any street fights anyways.
I'm talking about even when you like go into spar or compete even, especially competing.
Well, with competing, I think that's the risk. It's the untold risk that we all take. Right. Like that's the risk.
It's just like upfront. Like that's
just the
game. You that nobody knows.
Nobody knows.
Yeah.
Nobody knows when their last.
I guess you'll find out too, you know?
Yeah. And also too, like you, like, how do you put it? Like, obviously the goal is not to get hit. And if the guy puts me out, I'd rather have it done like that. Like cleanly knock me out. Then drag it on and punch me 1,000 times in my head.
That makes sense.
Right? You know?
That makes sense, yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, it's like, man, I'd rather have someone put me out than try to keep the fight going. You know? Right. And that's why I'm not the biggest fan of boxing because I feel like you're sparring, you're going to get a lot of shots to the head.
That, I think boxing might be maybe more...
dangerous?
Could be. Just from the count sense of it, like, because... when your bell's rung and you're getting hit over it, that's even worse. That's like, that's like compounding.
Yeah.
Like when you are getting, you're not out yet and you got somebody over and you're turtled up and they're just fucking rocking your shit.
It's over.
They're going to call it. It's a TKO or whatever. Or you get put out. You might get hit one more time, but you're out. You were out. You're not kind of back a little bit there. Get put out, stand up, kind of back. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No.
Because I can't. When's the last time fucking anybody's died in the UFC? I mean, you can go back like 6 years ago, and there's a guy that's like a vegetable now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
From boxing.
Well, boxing is boxing. I think more people get hurt in boxing because, like I say, they're
because sparring. Of the counts and shit too.
Well, even their sparring. Their sparring is only punching, and it's gonna be the head because it's just normal, right? But like, especially with Muay Thai or Jiu-Jitsu, like I have more options. I can kick your legs.
What do you? This is gonna seem like a dumb question. What if something's not open, right, and someone's got their hands up? Why not just fuck their shoulder up by just nailing that motherfucker, dude?
What do you mean?
Like someone's like they're whatever, they're going like this, yeah. Right? I mean, obviously they can whatever, but like say like they're focused on their head. This is still open. Like, right. Can't you just fuck up their clavicle or something like that? Punch it hard as fuck so they can't swing as good anymore. Does that ever happen?
Yeah, like guys will punch you in the shoulder or the biceps.
They'll do it on
like,
purpose.
Yeah, kick you. Like that's what we use kicks for, really. Like higher up in the body. Someone's got a good guard or a good like right hand. There was actually a super good fight of that was on I don't think you came over for that Prime fight. Anyways, I think it was
Prime fight. Prime.
So one championship.
Okay.
But one of the guys, the other dude's from China, and he knocks everyone out with that right arm. His right hand just drops people for no reason. Just got thunder in it. You know, some guys just have that touch. And like,
well, they got the right momentum and shit.
Yeah, and technique, and God just gave him a right hand that will starch people. You know what I mean? And yeah. He's 140 pounds, but puts people out, you know?
Yeah.
And that guy, what'd he do? He just kicked and kicked and kicked to make that arm tired. And even then, at the end of the rounds, like, he could have put him out. There was a couple of good shots where it staggered him. And
you think like, he was just playing with his food?
Well, not even that he's playing with his food. It's just that's his thing is hitting you with that right hand. So he's going to use that. The way the guy's going to defeat it is by kicking him in the arm, kicking him in the arm, kicking him.
Wear that arm out.
To wear that side of the body out, right? And that's what kicks are really good for.
It's like an old Contra game. Remember you had to like kill the limbs or whatever?
Yeah. It's like the bamboo. You know, like yeah. Or a banana tree.
Oh.
You see him kick it?
Yeah.
You slowly break through it, right? We call it chopping down the tree, right? And you just kick their legs, kick their legs, kick their legs until either A, they can't take it, or two, you get some resolve from it. Now, again.
Kicking someone's legs out has got to be pretty funny too when they hit the ground.
Yeah, sometimes, but a lot of times too, like when you do it, it's more, or like sweeps are worse, are more embarrassing, I would say. Someone like comes up and sweeps you off your feet, you know?
I've seen it, yeah.
Yeah, that's what drives you the craziest, because you're like, yeah, because you think you got them, you know? Because
they're like up here and then,
yeah, you're committed to a punch or whatever, and your foot goes to hit the ground, and there ain't no ground there to hit, you know? And you just flip and fall, you know? So you're like, oh, that sucked. But that's like a lot of it too, right? So there's like, I forgot what we were talking about. But.
You're talking about kicking the tree down.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, that's what you were saying. Like, if someone shells up, what do? You can punch them, kick them there. But, like, for us, like, if you're going to shell up this way and have, like, 11 guard, right, where your hands are up down the middle, you're susceptible to the middle. So I'm going to start throwing elbows, uppercuts, things to open up the middle that are going to land just because your guard's out here. So it's like hook, uppercut because you're covered.
I just love the efficiency of Muay Thai, though. Like, miss a hit.
Yeah.
Maybe grab elbow. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. It's like there's no wasted movement. Like when you swing and you miss, you know, like you can practice to where like, where do you go from if you're like right or left overhand, right, left jab completely misses. What's in that spinning back elbow, whatever.
Yeah, there's something that follows, right?
You know what I mean? Like you can distance. Always, yeah. Yeah,
everything dictates off that.
So that you just kind of get into that mode of flow where you're kind of like, okay, all right, well, if I miss, I'm going to try this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's exactly. Just repetitive.
Yeah. And it's repetitive also too. There's a beauty of that's like says, I'm going to take you and edge you up. Like everyone's going to have their own style of fighting. This guy's going to move a lot. This guy's going to stand still. This guy's going to have power. This guy's going to have speed. This guy's
sometimes they have all of them.
All wonky and different. Yeah. I mean, sometimes you could have all, very rarely are you going to have all of them to the level that one sticks out the most. And then two, your job is to be able to shut them down. Right, the job of the fighting game is kind of like
figure out what they're good at, make sure it doesn't work.
Exactly, is and play your game. So I want to protect myself and still land my strikes.
That, well, that's what they found out about Izzy. He was mostly a counter striker.
Yeah,
and then when they found out when he went against Sean, good luck because he doesn't stop. He's like a fucking, he's like literally like Jason. Like he, yeah. You think that he's gone. You just ran through the fucking woods, right. And the next thing you know, you turn around, he's still fucking there.
Well, and I also think that this is another great example of it was his night.
Of Strickland?
Strickland.
And okay.
Izzy didn't fight the same fight Izzy normally fights.
I disagree. And he's just a counter-striker, dude.
Well, what I mean as in like... But do you remember when he fought against the short big guy?
Gaslam.
Gaslam. That was a different Izzy than that strong Strickland fight.
Gaslam was trying to walk him down for sure, but you got to understand that Sean Strickland is the same height.
Oh, no. 100%. What I'm saying is like the...
Kelvin's like how 5, I told you, 10, maybe,
there's 8, some 5, 8. Nights where you're just off.
Oh, dude, I'm sure. I have off nights on everything.
Yeah, but what I meant
I got off nights like, going to sleep. Like, there's just nights I can't right. even sleep, for Christ's sakes.
But it was like, there's like, I don't know, you can believe it in fate. You can believe in whatever.
Destiny. You can
believe in just, that was just his night. You know what I mean?
Like, right, but that was also your night to learn.
Oh, exactly. And to like,
either you want this or you don't. You know what I mean?
Izzy had to figure that one out the hard way, unfortunately.
That's why I hope when he comes back, it doesn't affect him. It's going to be almost impossible for it not to in a way. But I mean, I think he's a smart enough guy. I think he's got enough pride as well to where he won't 100%. Maybe let that happen. I feel like some people slip through just because of the personality. Like,
yeah.
They're like, they were so used to winning and then they lost and they're like, ah, fuck it, whatever.
Yeah. And sometimes they slide, you know, and that's the hard part too, is
and you become like, a journeyman and then.
Yeah. Or to like, just like a shop, right? Where he was like, not doing the greatest, but he won the biggest fights, knocked out one of the best guys in the world at his weight. And then.
But those guys were very much past their prime. Almost all of them were.
Oh, for sure. But I mean,
dude, Brendan Schaub kicked my fucking ass. Yeah, dude.
Right.
He walking here right now and manhandled probably both of us.
There ain't no shit. But and then a lot of it too is like, you have that feeling of like you're not committed. And I had to deal with that with sometimes even with like mine was always injuries, right? Like, you're going to get hurt, broken toes, ran my fingers through a table saw, sliced my hands open, you know, just dumb little things like that where like you have to continue, or like I have kids. And you know those practices where your brain's like not focused on the task at hand, and you have to be fully in. Like when you're doing.
Now you just got to figure out how to do that each time. You know what I mean? Like you just have to figure out how to like, okay, I'm drawing the fucking line in the sand right here. Like that.
Like Deadpool, maximum effort.
Maximum effort. Yeah, yeah, dude.
You know, and like you just turn that piece on. And once you understand it is there, that's what's. You can get it. Like, that's not hard to learn how to do, but then it's applying it to other things. Cause I thoroughly love Muay Thai. Like, that satisfies the everything that
the
I
itch,
love. Yeah. The itch, the thing that helps me focus. I feel the best. Time doesn't exist when I'm there. I can go forever. It's just like, it feels like I should be doing this all the time, right? Like, that's a feeling that I wish I could get all the time, because it's like a drug, you know. It's like,
it really is.
It's better than
it's
drug.
Dopamine,
because it's the best drug.
And then that pain that probably follows after too, because I mean, I never had pain. I mean, the goal is not to have pain after you spar, but like I'm just saying, like that pain where like you earned, like
you learned. You didn't earn. You learned. Right? You learned. The pain teaches you something.
You earned. You know what I mean? But you know what I mean? Like you feel good, like. When you're sore after a workout, or like, you know, you in your case, you get done sparring. In my case, again, the limited time that I did, you know, jiu-jitsu, it's like I would leave and it was just like this magnificent high that you were just on the whole rest of the day.
Yeah. Well, and that's what I feel like some of like even the military stuff where like even through your shooting and your training, I wish they would teach you more of that stuff, like how to turn that stuff on. To your
frozen.
The mental part, right?
That's why you had to have a good mentor. And that's exactly. Those guys all just come in and they just try to be the funniest drill sergeant. You know, ours were really funny too.
I know I said ours were.
Oh, not. mine were hilarious.
Yeah.
And, but at any rate though, like I don't even remember what I was saying. What was I just talking about?
No, just the mental. Like, I think we should focus
more. Oh, yeah. And you run across those guys that do kind of teach you that shit. Like, hey, listen, private, or listen, if you're not even, like, out of AIT or not even in AIT, they're not even going to call you any of that. They're going to call you something terrible, I'm sure. Hopefully still to this day. I don't know how it is now. But, you know, there's a lot of guys that came in and they were just, like, fucking dickheads because you just know that they're probably getting divorced or something. Or, right. You know, they can't afford their F-150 that they just bought, or I don't know what the case is. But there's some guys, some of the drill sergeants were, like, they would literally just, like, they would sit you down and be like, all right, man, like, you know, drill sergeant shit aside, like, and they would talk to you, you know, like, in a way, you know. But this is, like, beyond basic training. Like, this is, like, you might have, like, a week left until you graduate, and they're finally sitting down being like, all right, you know, what's up? Or, like, you know, this is a moment to kind of be like, this is how it's going to be. This is where you're going to go. Watch out for this shit. Like, don't be a fucking moron, you know, like, don't go blow your money here. Don't whatever. Like, they'll just kind of give you a little guidance, and you don't get enough of that. It's just like, I'm going to break you down verbally and physically, which is great, you know, build you back up. But sometimes some of the guys don't even take time to be, like, they almost got put there. It's like, choose to be a recruiter or be a drill sergeant. Like,
yep.
And you hated both choices, you know, exactly. And then they just take it out on you the whole time.
Well, I had a really good drill instructor. So our senior had left. So I forgot what my senior was because he wasn't there. He went to jump school during our cycle, so we had one less guy. But our drill instructor, what was his name? He's probably staff sergeant Gunny by now, but Sanchez. He came in and, like, he explained to us, like, he chose to be a drill instructor because he wanted to produce better Marines, to be a better Marine.
That's cool, to have a good mindset. Know?
And, like, he emanated that, right? And, like, I looked up to him for, I mean, even, like, he
probably didn't hurt that he thought you were Mexican too, maybe.
Maybe. But no, like, we were both, he was just, I wasn't.
You got by pretty easy. It didn't stress you out as much as other people. You didn't single yourself out. You know, you weren't a target.
No. And I would do, like, hey, I would write the boards after this. I would help, you know, honestly do, like, sometimes, like, they'd have me stay back and I'd help iron uniforms for people. Or, like, you know, they needed some help with this, and so I'd help them with that thing that they needed done. So it was like I was more helpful and useful to them, and they understood that I didn't really need the leadership portion, that, like, some guys just need to get the shit kicked out of them,
yeah,
to get broke down. When I kind of came in having that. But anyways, back to him, it was like, but the, like, you would have never guessed, like, I don't know if it's true or not, I kind of remember the story. The other drill instructors were telling us, like, that dude was on a rooftop with somebody else, and, like, they were taking shots at, and, like, someone was going to shoot an RPG, and the dude jumped off the roof with him and, like, let that dude that was wounded land on him and, like, fucked his back up and his legs up. But you'd never guess it. And yet, so he ended up doing this instead of doing something else that he wanted to do.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, those moments are, like, I feel like more important to, like what made him do that. But he never explained that. You know what I mean? It's like, what possesses people
to just something? Like, it's like, I, and not to, you know, sniff my own farts, but it's like, my daughter one time told me, like, something about bravery being for boys. And I told her, I'm like, baby, like, you have no idea how many fucking cowardly men are out there. I'm like, nobody is brave all the time. No. I'm like, you are given an opportunity and you either take it or you don't. And whatever comes with it, comes with it. Like, it could be death. It could be whatever, you know, it could be the opposite end. It could be glory or whatever you have, you know, whatever comes of it. But, like, you don't get to choose. Like, it, the moment happens and you just decide, and that's what it is.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's nothing wrong with.
So that guy to do that, like, he just was like, okay, what can I do? Like, what would an honorable thing be? And he was an honorable man. So that's what he did. Yeah. You know what I mean? There's really nothing to.
No, and there's nothing, but what I mean is, like, sometimes I wish, because it'd be just like me explaining to why I hit that guy in the face in the fight. Like, what, how were you thinking that clear to do it? Or, like, what was the thought
process? You just saw an opportunity, dude. Again, it just goes right back to, like, you get an opportunity and you either take it or you don't.
But so many guys at that young age don't have that. You know what I mean? And it's like some of that.
And more those guys exist now.
Yeah.
just with everything.
They don't understand when to take the moment or like what moment is, what a moment is, I guess, really. Yeah. You know, they don't understand what that is when they see that light turn green, you know? So I think that's where a lot of the people make mistakes. And I think that comes back down to being a parent, right? Like, our job is to test our children. Just like you got tested, just like you testing.
Shit, man. I don't even know if I got tested.
Well, not
you. I think I showed up and then I have no idea what happened after that.
Like, you getting tested as in the little lessons you've learned doing your rolling, the little lessons you've learned just through life, right? Is to test your kids to push them so that they learn how to break past those limits.
Right.
When they don't want to do it and they have
dude,
to.
Dude, and I don't even know how much time you got. Right. Are you getting tired of this?
No, I don't.
I'm not at all. Give me 1 second to piss.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
And I have no idea where the fuck I'm at right now. I'm so fucking drunk.
It's not good, dude. Well, let's wrap it up. I got to get my kids to sleep anyways.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. I appreciate you, dude.
Always. And like I say, we'll be on once a week.
Once a week, dude.